Welcome to the Oceano Community Services District Board of Directors meeting for August 22nd, 2007. Patrick, may I have a roll call, please?
Sure. President Hill?
Here.
Vice President Bookout?
Here.
Director Dahl?
Here.
Director Dean?
Here.
Director Mann, absent.
Thank you. Please join us in the flag salute. Ready? Salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Item number three, public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. The board will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the board cannot act on items that are not on the agenda. Would anyone like to address the board at this time? Okay, hearing none, that brings us to item number five, review and approval of the minutes. We have the minutes from August 8th this evening. Any questions, corrections, comments from the board?
Nothing at this time.
No? Any comment or questions on the minutes from the public? Okay. Entertain a motion.
I move that we approve the minutes as presented.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes of August 8th as presented. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Passes unanimously. Item number four, board member items for discussion. I'm sorry. Actually, I missed that item. I went to the minutes after public comment. I'll take board member items out of order right now. Vern, do you have?
I still have nothing.
Okay. Pamela, anything, Bill?
No.
Okay. Neither do I. Just again, I'd like to thank the chief for the efforts on the cleaning up the lot there at the end of Cienega and Front Street, and that's a big.
Spent a significant amount of time verifying lots abated and calculating charges for the hazard reduction program, and the charges for the weed abatement were submitted to the county for placement on the tax roll. Also, they returned all the cleaning deposits to the booths for the fireworks operations during 2007, July the 4th celebration. We did bi-monthly meter reading and disconnected 11 accounts, which were not paid in full by July the 11th.
Thank you. I know there was quite a bit of extra work, not only extra board meetings and a lot of those things at the end of the fiscal year, and then following up with one-time things like the fireworks and the weed abatement. So I know staff's been busy. We appreciate the extra effort.
Thank you for that.
Okay, Phil.
Okay. This is for the month of July also. We had two failures in the sewer department during the month. One was lateral blockage, and the other was a main line blockage caused by sand on Pier Avenue. The district crew was able to clear the line. In the water department, there were two leaks reported for the month. One leak was found to be in a water service line, and the other was a flange gasket on a fire hydrant, and the district crew repaired both problems. The district crew was able to work several days during the month on the valve exercise program, and they replaced a 1-inch polybutylene water service line for a new sidewalk project. They completed several repair orders, 48-hour door hangers, red water meters, and shutoffs. They repaired the automatic valve on the Lopez water supply line, and they had to do some work on the antique streetlights. Other jobs completed during the month included weekly samples, locating district facilities for USA requests for construction jobs, and there's going to be an improvement project on State Highway 1 one of these days. And we spent a lot of time on inspections and field redesign work. on the 48 new homes that are under construction down in Tract 2758. An inspector with the San Luis Obispo County Health Department conducted a surprise hazardous material inspection during the month. Excuse me. I'm happy to report he didn't find any problems. And we produced 97.76 acre feet of water during the month of July. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. And glad to hear that the hazardous materials inspection went well.
Right.
And that's good.
Yeah,
that's always good to hear.
Surprise inspections.
Mm-hmm. Question?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I noticed we have to clean sand out and get sand blockages quite often down there by those bathrooms. Any idea where the state is on putting in those sand traps?
Yeah.
Objected.
Well, of course, the state park is a big help on those, but of course, that's where it's coming from, most of it appears.
Okay. Any other questions for Phil?
I had another question on well number 6. I know we talked about it at the barbecue, and it has been making noise up there. They have been making quite a bit of noise.
Yeah, there's a lot going on well 6. Matter of fact, should I... excuse me. I have a little bit of a report on that, too. Mm-hmm. They installed a new stainless steel liner inside the old liner, and gravel packed it with a 40,000 gravel, which looks like heavy sand. They filled in the annular space between the new lining and the old, or the new screen and the old screen. And then they treated the perforated areas with hydrochloric acid. And then they've spent several days pumping out the treated water. They're pumping about 15 feet at a time, and they go all the way down. It takes, like I say, they pump for about 2 days. Everything runs through a neutralization trailer, and they add soda ash to get the pH up, and then it's pumped into Baker tanks, and then the pH is checked again. And once it's above 6.5, we can release it to the to a retention basin. And they've done the bore blasting too. That was where they bore blasting is. I would describe it as timed releases of high pressure nitrogen. In other words, you're just trying to stir up the area of the perforations. We feel that the perforations were blocked. And today they removed the bottom packer that they'd been air jetting the well with, and went down and cleaned out the any debris that had settled in the bottom of the well. And the next operation will be test pumping. We're kind of out of room. You can't hardly walk around, so they're probably going to have to move some of their trailers out, get more equipment in, and begin the test pumping. Mm-hmm. But it's quite a big operation.
Yeah, it sounds like work is progressing, though.
It's
pretty well.
They're a big company. They seem to have a lot of resources.
Phil, help.
So it might set around for a couple of weeks till that gets in. But it's going to be a while before it gets back online, but hopefully they'll be out here in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Doug?
Thank you, Mr. President. The fire department activities as of August 7th through the 21st have a total of 40 calls for service that we provided. Year to date, we are at 550. That's a call increase of 67 from this time last year. We had 5 fires, 4 cover assignments, 3 public assistance calls, 3 vehicle collisions, 20 medical aids, 0 alarms ringing, 1 auto extrication, 1 rescue fatality, which took place on the dunes, the 3 hazardous conditions, and 3 hazardous nuisance abatements. The one incident involving the young 4-year-old boy was the type of thing to where we have our crisis program in place, but the crew did quite well with it, and being somewhat experienced, is still, you know, is a very traumatic thing to deal with, regardless of how much of that you go through, but sad situation. And Mr. President, I would ask, I noticed that Vice President Bookout has a fire committee report. What I'm doing is I'm reading off of the minutes of that meeting. I would ask, do you want me just to continue and cover that?
That'd be fine with me.
Is that okay, Bill?
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Please do.
Thank you. So if I was to do that, the new business that we talked about at the committee meeting, I refer to Chief Hamp as if he's another person, but Chief Hamp introduced a staff report to the fire committee that provided opportunities for the Oceano Community Service District Board to consider as it relates to futuring fire and life safety services. The discussion identified the fire department's new mission, values, and culture statements created by your people. These statements were developed by the fire department members for members in guiding them in meeting the true priorities in service deliveries and performance to their community. Preceding that discussion, the fire chief gave an overview of the challenges of providing adequate levels of service at a reasonable cost. Viable options were provided for consideration. The staff report focuses on efficiencies, proper use of taxpayer dollars, including cost avoidance. Sure, fence will be above 2x6 wood with two rails and fenced with a top cap of 2x6. Previously, the property owner was going to use large rocks or boulders, but Caltrans found liability in using boulders, so wood will be utilized, and the remaining two vehicles you see sitting there will be moved. I spoke with the property owner and basically said that the big blue half a mobile home is your responsibility to move, and he said he'd willingly do it. I worked with California Highway Patrol today, and they assisted in identifying the owner of the motorhome that's parked there, but basically had a name and address. So I drove to San Luis Obispo, but that person hasn't lived there in many, many years, and they don't know where they are. So that too may be an issue of towing by the property owner, but there are certain conditions that have to be met and letters sent and attempts made by that property owner. But nonetheless, we are going to get the property posted, and he said he will pull those things out of there, and we'll also get it properly posted and fenced, so it'll be a great improvement. Mm-hmm. And that basically covers what we've done activity wise.
Okay, thank you very much. A comment about that. I appreciate again your efforts and the efforts of the staff and the property owner in that case for their willingness to make sure everything's in good shape there.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure to work with him too.
Some of that I'm sure was a liability for him that I don't think he necessarily realized he had. So I think they appreciate your assistance with that also.
Oh, that's fine. Thank you, sir.
And we can maybe at the report of the committee meeting, we can discuss it a little bit more into what you just touched on right now with some of the futuring opportunities. Maybe we can hear a little bit more about that.
Yes, sir.
Probably at that time. Comment or questions from the board on the reports? Any comment or questions from the public on the staff reports? Okay, thank you very much. Receive and file, please. Okay, under item 7, fire items, we have none tonight, but again, we will comment or questions from the board. Comment or questions from the public on this item? Okay, hearing none, I'll look for a motion.
Move that we continue the declaration of emergency call.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to continue the declaration. Patrick, could I have a roll call, please?
Yes.
Director, Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Bean?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Item number 8B is consideration of temporary water supply agreement between the City of Arroyo Grande and the Oceano Community Services District. This is an issue that's had some publication in the press, and I know there's interest in it. But Director Mann is absent tonight, and I think we have an obligation to make sure that the full board is here. This is an important item, and I would propose to delay this item until a meeting probably a month from now when all of the directors can be present, if that's...
When does this currently expire?
Your mic, Patrick?
The current agreement we have expires the end of August. There's a provision that can be extended with the agreement of the two parties.
And that's a two-year extension?
It's a one-year extension. It's 1 year at a time, yeah.
It should be noted that the matter that's before you tonight is not approving the agreement so much as it is authorizing the general manager to engage a specialist in water law to review the agreement. Now, it might well be that the board has no interest in the agreement under any circumstances, and so a review might be wasted money. But if there's any interest in perhaps going forward with the agreement, it might make sense, even in the absence of Director Mann, to consider the matter of whether you should engage the expert that the general manager is asking you about, so you don't lose a whole month just to refer it out.
Mm-hmm. I understand. Good advice.
If I could comment on this, I'll be gone the second week of September. I'm doing a diving club adventure up at Anchor feasibility study, whether this in 10 years if they have water rights. So my major concern is that the Oceano residents, no money comes out of their pocket, our pockets, for this. And if Rio Grande is interested in this, pursuing this, then that hopefully that they would either pay this or possibly work with us on the our share of the water desalination fees in the future.
Other comment, Pamela or Vern?
I tend to agree with the attorney that time is a little bit important here, in that we're not, although I'm not necessarily set on opinion one way or the other as far as this agreement. Before I do have an opinion on this agreement, I'm very interested in needing to know and making sure as much as possible that we're not going to lose any of these water rights. So proceeding to make sure that that this is looked into by professionals, I think, is important. And as long as we're not agreeing to any kind of contract with Rio Grande at this point in time, then I would be satisfied with going ahead with that part of it at this time. Although I am very much in favor of making sure that it's the full board sitting in when this decision is made. Mm-hmm. for the agreement itself.
Right, I completely agree. Pamela, do you have a comment?
My concern was that there was only one firm that was approached to give an estimate for the work on this, and I know there are other firms throughout the state, and I could even come up with two more right off the top of my head. I hate contracting out with only maybe one bid, and that was my concern. And the other, because it's expensive. They're talking about 40 hours and $12,000 to review what I consider a fairly simple agreement. And I know that we are all concerned about keeping our water rights and that we don't give anything away. So we do want to be careful, but I also don't like contracting out with only one bidder.
That he's a partner with the district and the other three cities in an effort to move forward with other issues concerning water rights and water sharing and things like that. I questioned his ability to be neutral since he represents both agencies, and he said that the agreement between the two agencies could be handled by our attorney, Mr. Seamus. I don't know if he's talked to you. And then he said there were other issues, though, with all the other people who have rights to that water that would play, and that he could represent us with all those other parties. And again, he said he could do it at very low cost. So I
think we're kind of mixing apples and oranges here.
Okay.
Because the real issue, as I understand it, right, the real issue that the district wants to get a read on from somebody who's very schooled in this area is whether this would result in a permanent transfer of our water rights to Arroyo Grande. I think on that issue, Mr. Weinstock, although he's very competent in these areas, has a pretty clear conflict of interest and would have to get a waiver from the city of Arroyo Grande. Mm-hmm. And no intention to impugn his integrity at all, but I'm not even sure I'd want to do it if I had a waiver through him.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I just had to mention that he did
sure
call and
sure
suggested that.
So the staff recommendation then is, our director, Dean, you know of other, still other water rights experts that might be contacted at more reasonable cost? Or, Patrick, did I understand you to say that, and Alex, that you think we should get a specialist in water rights?
I wasn't particularly consulted on that particular issue. I feel fairly certain that we are adequately protected under this agreement, but I don't hold myself out as a specialist in this area. And I know this is a very important issue to the board and to both the current general manager and the former interim general manager and the permanent general manager before him. So you're not going to hurt my feelings at all by going out and getting a specialist. I have no objection to that at all. I think argument that anybody that represented any party in that litigation, in theory at least, has a technical conflict of interest, if not an actual one. So finding another water law specialist that didn't represent anybody in the litigation, I'm sure it's not impossible, but it might take a little bit of doing. This firm, so far as I know, did not represent
anybody.
They did
anybody. Not. I confirmed that with
yeah
them. They were not involved. And his comment to me was the same as Alex's. He said basically they were one of the few rather prominent law firms that wasn't involved in that lawsuit,
right,
because there were so many litigants. Another comment that I would have is my experience in dealing with professional services is it would be great to have a variety of firms to consider, but typically, you're not looking for the least price firm. You're looking for the best qualified firm. So I think it would be good if you have them. I'd be glad to contact other people.
I have one, I'll give you his number.
Okay, if that's what the board wants, then I'll be glad to do that.
Would the I guess would then in this case we need a sense of the board. Do we want to authorize proceeding with contacting another firm? And
here's the problem I have with any one of us recommending somebody. It puts the general manager in the awkward position of now having himself having a conflict of interest as to, you know, am I worried about offending or having a problem if I decide that the firm that wasn't recommended by one of us is the better one? I mean, is this going to cause any problems for him? And I don't have a problem with the general manager going out and looking for another, you know, looking at to see if he can find another one here or there to check to see which one he thinks is best. But I think he should do it on his own and not be something that we recommend him to do. As wanting to hire this business, or we recommend this business for him to do business for the district to do business with. I think that is might be a little bit outside of what we should do as board members.
I've had no business with them. It's just a recommendation that we have others. So if you want to do it on your own, I would prefer to have more bids on this. and maybe others looking.
Kicker that he has to consult with me on it, that's fine, but I don't think that's necessary. But that's just an option.
Mm-hmm. I think that's probably a good suggestion.
Yeah, and I don't have a problem with you know, requiring the general manager to seek another second or third look at a second or third one. But the question becomes, how much time and energy and money are we going to spend to find another firm to save? You know, are we going to spend $2,000 in staff time up here and so to save $1,000 in fees? And I don't know what it's going to take to do that. I don't know. You know, maybe it's just a few phone calls, or maybe it's 2 or 3 weeks down. You know, lengthens the time that this contract goes into effect too, which would cost more than the $12,000 we're spending. So there's different sides to weigh in here, but I'm fine with either way. You know, with what the rest of you think.
Is there public comment on this item? Mary.
Hi, Mary Lucy. God, I'm so sorry to see that, you know, the community is, you know, taking a summer break or something, you know, because this is such an important issue to the people of Oceano, particularly since our rates were just increased by 30%, and here we're, like, you know, peddling water to the neighbors. So, but I'm going to speak to how you have this set on the agenda. And so this is the process, is that I see this as two proposals on the agenda. One, are we going to sole source taxpayers' money to this firm? Or two, are we going to approve this contract? So as a procedural point, I would say either make up your mind. Either you're going to split this motion into dealing with the contract, or you're going to deal with the agreement between AG and Oceano.
The only matter on the agenda tonight is consideration of the general manager's recommendation to hire a water rights attorney to review the contract. That's the only matter on the agenda tonight.
Not approval of the contract per se.
I'm sorry, I didn't see the word stamp draft on this.
They're not on it.
Well, but usually when you have a contract that's up of other people's expenses when it comes to water, considering that the majority of this town just got slammed with a 30% plus increase in water fees, and now we're talking about selling water, which, of course, it hasn't been determined what source of water we're going to sell. But we had the, you know, we felt it important to raise our water rates by 30 plus, but still we have so much water we don't know which pool to pull from, you know. So I think there needs to be a little bit of justification there. Also, too, is that I am so adamantly opposed to sole sourcing anything. Whether you put a letter of inquiry, a letter of interest out there to the public, you know, so other water experts can at least, you know, send their perfectly formatted resumes, which if a law firm can't do that, then I, you know, that's not the one for us. But you don't even have to put an RFQ, which is request for qualifications, out. But I think that by law, you cannot sole source taxpayers' money. And I'm sure the attorney will have a lot to say on that, you know, but I think that there's actually a limit of amount of funds that you can sole source out, and you know, it varies from area to area. But the last time I dealt with it, it was nothing more than $9,000. So that's what I have to say about the contract. And I'm adamantly opposed of Oceano, you know, absorbing one more expense. And that brings me to, you know, not my last point, since you're not going to deal with the contract, but nowhere in there did I see, like, how we, as the taxpayers that have been paying for these astronomical increases, how this is going to benefit, you know, lighten some pressure, financial pressure off our households. You know, you're selling water, but Is it coming back to the people that you just raised our rates? So it seems like somewhat of a contradiction. Yes, you know, get off the water. You know, we got plenty. Share it. They need it. But sell it for market value and maybe give back something to the people who you just raised the rates on, screaming poverty. So I hope, you know, I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm trying to get my point across. It seems like such an obvious contradiction to me, you know, considering I write the checks in the house, you know, and I watch the water bill fly up every month. So,
Alex and Patrick and Arnie can help if I, and my fellow board members if I misstate something. But the water rate increase that was recently passed had to do with paying for the cost of the Lopez Lake water treatment plant upgrades for the most part. And those upgrades allow Lopez to deliver more water to the various customers of that system. Oceana was kind of being a part of the...
Not more water, but better quality water.
Better quality water. Thank you for improvements to the water treatment plant. In some degree, more water, but also, as Vern says, better quality water. And those costs were passed through to us from the county. Oceano CSD has, for years, tried to hold the line on those costs. Those costs went escalated out of control beyond our ability to control it. We're only one small portion of the customers of that system, which is Zone 3 of the County Flood Control and Water Conservation District. So that's basically what those increases are for. Some of that water is to pay for capacity. In other words, we're paying for that water whether we use it or not. And part of what the board's action is considering is, can we find a way to use some of that water that we're not using but we're paying for anyway and turn it into a revenue stream that can be used to either reduce the bill to our own customers or not have to raise rates again in the future. So that's what the consideration is basically about, and there's a number of considerations obviously that would come about, but I hope that explains a little bit about if anyone else has more to say on it. But those what we're basically paying for is water that we're not using.
Yes, and I understand that, Mr. Hill, and if you just mind this dialogue for a minute. And I really appreciate that information. I know a lot of other people appreciate that information. But in that huge dramatic increase to Oceano, one of the reasons why we don't get all our water is because the pipe was not put in there. But that wasn't included in that huge price. And that's deceitful. And not by your board. It's deceitful of Zone 3, you know, not to disclose that the dam had to be upgraded, you know, every 3 to 5 years, too. So I understand your predicament, but I just want to put it in there that even though all this money's going into that dam for better quality of water, the quantity will not come to Oceano because it was not included. And correct me if I'm wrong.
And perhaps selling some of our rights to water that we basically can't use may be a way to take some of the cost burden off our residents. I think that's kind of.
And Miss Lucy asked to be corrected if she's wrong. I'm quite sure she's wrong. I'm sure that the infrastructure that was constructed as part of the coastal aqueduct construction was designed and built to bring 100% of the Oceano entitlement to Oceano.
Of Lopez water, certainly not state water necessarily. I believe that the size of the pipe, and I believe the council has correctly described it, it's sized for the capacity that we get from Lopez, but we have additional capacity available from state water, and it's the state water allocation, I think, that's in question. That's a separate...
It's a separate
issue.
Oceano right now receives all the water through that pipe that it, for the most part, that it uses. We pump very little water. correct, Phil?
That's correct.
Okay, mm-hmm. So all the water we need right now can make it through the pipe that's available. All the water that we have access to cannot.
Yes.
Right. That's right.
And why is
it's not the pipe that's the state pipe for the state water. And it's the pipe that comes, it's beyond the dam. It's not the one coming out of the dam. It's more or less coming into the community. Is that correct, Phil?
There's an awful lot involved here.
Yeah. All right. So,
well, I didn't mean to take you off track.
It's,
but thank you for the question, but I still think there's some confusion.
We'll have more information and discuss those questions at the time that we address the issue beyond having the particular contract reviewed.
Okay.
And I do thank you for this time.
There's a couple more issues that need to be addressed because of, you know, we are going to have people at home watching this. The money that will come in from the sale will go into the water department, have water rate increases, that type of thing. And the other question was raised is the individual, one bid or the individual company that has said that they would do this, that we wanted to hire. And Alex, could you go over those requirements of what we can hire out without going out to bid as far as professional services are concerned like this?
Other than internally established controls, there's no control in the government code that requires you to bid this like you would a public works contract. And so it's simply the action of the board. Now, some public agencies do adopt internal rules for how they handle obtaining professional services, but I don't believe there are any for this district.
I'm not aware of that.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is because it's professional services as opposed to going out for bid, like putting in a water line, which is...
Yeah, that's under the public works contracts provisions, and there are some limited provisions with regard to buying goods. For instance, if you were to decide to go buy some trucks or something like that.
Okay. But irrespectful of that, I'm still have no problem if the board feels that we should have the general manager try to find one or two other agencies to look at. But as long as it's not going to set this project or this procedure back too far, because we could end up spending more money by setting it back than we could, but then we're going to save in him looking for another firm or trying to find a better firm, which I think is going to be difficult to do. Might find somebody as qualified, but I don't know about better. Mm-hmm. And then leave that decision of which firm up to the general manager so that this can proceed forward.
And the proposal was for a not to exceed amount, so hopefully the amount might come in less than 40 hours. I share your concern that did seem to be a long time for a relatively straightforward document, but I would hope that they would come in under that amount. Is there any other public comment on the item?
Funds spent on putting this together, any administrative time spent on putting this together, because saying this will help us not increase your funds, your rates down this road, right? I'm sorry, Mr. Dahl, but you guys voted on a rate increase schedule, so you have a schedule of when our next rates are going to increase and so on and so on. So,
are you talking about the sanitation, the sewer rate?
No, no.
From the sewer plant?
No, I'm talking about other rates and stuff like that. But anyway, I'm not trying to get off topic. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to get off topic. I'm just saying, is that please don't slap this other $20,000 on our backs or $12,000, $15,000 or whatever it is. Please just call your colleagues over at AG and say, look, we understand you need this water. We're going to try to expedite this, but you need to pay the legal fees and professional fees. And if you want water, you know, you're going to, trust me, somebody out in the desert would jump on it. I mean, where they go.
One potential issue that might be is a conflict of interest if Arroyo Grande is paying for the legal advice for us. I mean, we want impartial legal advice to come to the board. In other words, we don't want to be...
You know, I don't. You know, I agree with the fact that it's only right that Arroyo Grande should pay for the cost to research this, since they're the ones asking for it. The problem lies in that we are having to do the research to see whether we want to enter into this or not. Now, ideally, that's something that should have been worked out with them to pay to reimburse us to go out and do that, and that is, you know, and that should be asked for ahead of time. But if it's not, and if it can't be due to time constraints, I would agree that it needs to be asked for, at least in the agreement with them. But my understanding is normally when a business or an entity asks another entity to do something for them, their cost to research it is usually asked for of that entity. Talk to another business and ask them to do something for them. That when that requires the agency being asked to expend funds to research whether they can do it. That agency being asked to expend those funds to research it usually asks for the cost of those funds ahead of time.
Well, that's a practical question. It's a matter of contract. The district certainly could, if you choose, make your pursuit of this contingent upon the city of Arroyo Grande agreeing to reimburse you up to some not to exceed, probably they would need that amount, for whatever cost Oceano would expend in obtaining the opinion, in reviewing and obtaining the opinion. How that would be received in Arroyo Grande, that request, I have no idea, but that's a matter of contract. You could ask for that, certainly.
Yeah, can I say something here to try to kind of put this in perspective? We're in negotiations with the city of Arroyo Grande on a lot of things, but one of those things is the amount they're willing to reimburse us for this water. When this process started, when the previous agreement was entered into, the agreement stated that they would pay for the water they got. So we've had an agreement for 2 years, and it hasn't cost them a cent. They haven't needed the water, hadn't cost them a cent. When we started negotiating for this particular agreement, Mr. Dowdy suggested that we make them pay for it whether they get the water or not. And that had to be, in my opinion, kind of a shock to the city of Arroyo Grande, or to their council. But they agreed to that. They realized that it was important enough to them to pay what, in essence, is about $1.1 million over the next 5 years to this city. That's our potential revenue if this contract or if this agreement is approved. So we're looking at $1.1 million coming into the city to help with water services. And if we go back to the city of Arroyo Grande and say, you know, $1.1 million is nice, but we really want another $12,000, $8,000, $10,000, you know, we may be saying, that may just be the straw that breaks the camel's back. And they may say, oh, you know, maybe we don't need this contract. The other thing is, at $200,000,
there should be ideally benefit to both parties. I think we can see some serious potential benefit to Oceano. Arroyo Grande has their own reasons for considering this agreement. Hopefully there's a benefit to them also. So I tend to agree with your point. The cost of the delays and so forth would exceed the cost that we're going to spend on the contract, which is a not to exceed.
The other thing that we talked about was protecting ourselves and protecting our water, that we wouldn't be giving it away or wouldn't jeopardize our water for Oceano. And that was the big thing that brought this review by attorneys up. I'm kind of with going the expeditious route. I would like to perhaps have Patrick look into other attorneys that, and just make a few phone calls. I wouldn't say make a big deal out of it, you know, spend an hour or so and make some phone calls and see if there are others that are willing to do it for less, not to exceed a $12,000, and I would be willing to make a motion that we proceed that way. I think we need to get on with it. I know that this is, you know, this is the crucial time, and this would be the time to continue mm-hmm. the contract and not let it sit and wait for a long time. I'm with you there. You just don't want to sit and wait. And they're stepping up to the plate, and they're paying us for water, whether they take it or not, and they aren't paying us for whether it's well water or Lopez water, and they're paying the Lopez water rate to us for that. It is a good deal for the community. There's a lot going on with our water infrastructure that we have been letting slide for these many years. And it's been a nagging worry out there that we aren't taking care of our infrastructure. So that is one thing I'd like to see the funds go to. It is going into the water fund, but it does need to go into some water infrastructure that has been determined that needs to be repaired and updated. And that's in our master water plan, so it has been out there. And we have not set any monies aside to do that. We really need to. This money would help.
And I think that the best way to pursue this is to have the general manager proceed with it and have the general manager take what appropriate time he feels is necessary to see if there's a better, not necessarily cheaper, but better firm to perform this work, and give him a set dollar figure to work with and let him make that decision, but proceed with it to move forward. And then when it comes time to the contract, to either approve or deny the contract, if we approve the contract, we'll, if we decide at that time to ask Arroyo Grande to cover our costs, we'll do that. If not, then that can be decided at that point in time. But to delay something that's going to cost us $16,000 to delay because we don't want to spend $12,000 is not fiscally sound.
So are you making a motion then to authorize the general manager to proceed?
I will make that motion, that the district authorizes the general manager to spend what time he feels is comfortable to see if there is another firm to do this work, and then to proceed to have this work done from the firm that he decides to be the best firm for the job, not to exceed the cost of $12,000, and to proceed with the work.
Okay. I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we authorize the general manager to proceed according to Director Dahl's motion. Can we have a roll call, please, Pat?
Sure. Can I clarify the motion so I've written it down right here?
Yes.
The motion is to authorize the general manager to expend the time necessary researching alternate firms, and
the time
then
the general manager, the amount of time the general manager feels is necessary.
Okay, the amount of time general manager feels is necessary, and then enter into an agreement not to exceed $12,000.
Is that correct with the second? Okay, that's the matter before the board right now.
Okay.
Consideration of the general manager's recommendation to adjust current utility billing for a property owner experiencing higher than normal utility billing due to line breakage or leaks. Patrick, want to tell us about this one?
I'm sorry. Let me interrupt. Are we going to need an additional motion on this, additional work on this last item to authorize to transfer funds out of reserves to pay for this?
No, not right now. I think what you stated was we determine later where we're going to get the source of the funds, and that's okay. We don't have to budget it right now. I just wanted to make sure the board understood that we haven't budgeted for this, so we're going to have to get funds from somewhere to do it.
Take it from the D-cell.
President Hill, member of the board, this is a request from Armin Balautsian. I apologize if I messed the name up. He had a water leak, and actually had a leak in his toilet. He repaired the leak, so this includes the request for the utility billing adjustment. It includes the receipts for the repairs that were made. So everything's here that's required by our policy to refund the money. It would basically he lives at 1317 21st Street. He was billed $217.14 for the period. I have that down here.
In question?
516 to 717, in question. And the water adjustment is $62.19. So that was his actual bill. His adjustment will be $154.95 to bring the bill down to $62.19.
Comment or questions? Comment or questions from the public on this item? Okay, hearing none.
I move that we approve the adjustment for Mr. Paluzian.
Second.
And as so stated here.
Okay, it's been moved by Director Dean, seconded by Director Dahl to approve this item. May I have a roll call, please, Pat?
Mm-hmm. Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Item 9A, administrative. The independent auditor's report and financial statements for the year, fiscal year ended June 30th.
There are two kinds of audits. There's unqualified audits and there are qualified audits. Unqualified meaning there's absolutely no remarks in the audit letter saying that there's anything that wasn't 100% up to speed. We got a qualified audit because of the management discussion and analysis that we... you know, what the letter says is we elected not to do, and I guess in essence, we did elect not to do it because we didn't do it. We will do that this year. It's not that difficult. And so future audits should be unqualified, which is what you really want to have happen.
Right. I appreciate that. I never could understand what the reluctance to issue that portion of the statement was, but apparently there was something. And I'm glad that we're proposing to include that in this year's audit. Is there any public comment on this item? Hearing none. Is our action then to receive the audit and...
Yes.
It's not a vote necessary for that because we've already approved the draft.
We've already accepted it. Right.
Okay, then we will receive and file the final audit. Item 9B, consideration of presidential appointment of committee representative, an alternate member to the County Water Resources Advisory Committee. Director Dahl's indicated that he can't attend the what is called the RAC meetings on behalf of the district. Is there other interest among the board members that would like to do that? I know Director Mann has a conflict. These happen on a afternoon at about 1 o'clock, so anybody who has a regular job can't attend these meetings, which makes it quite difficult for the district to get representation there. The general manager has been kind enough to attend in the past representing us. But
I don't think this meeting's been attended in quite some time.
That may
and
be
I've never been notified that nobody went. And I know that when
I believe it's a bi-monthly meeting, and every other month.
I believe so.
Yeah.
You know, I know I communicated when it came time for these committee assignments to be put together that I wasn't able to do it at that time, but I've never been notified of...
If that's all right. Item number 9C, a presidential proclamation honoring Interim General Manager Arnie Dowdy. This is one I have a great pleasure of introducing. Oceana Community Services District Presidential Proclamation dated August 22, 2007. Whereas Arnie Dowdy served as Interim General Manager of Oceana Community Services District from March 19, 2007 till August 3, 2007. Whereas Arnie Dowdy has lived and worked in the local community on and off for more than 30 years. Whereas Arnie Dowdy utilized his vast experience as a government manager, and whereas Arnie Dowdy implemented the practice of providing weekly status reports to directors, thereby keeping them informed in a timely manner of all operation in the district. Whereas Arnie Dowdy served the district in an outstanding and selfless manner. And whereas Arnie Dowdy has guided the board with his knowledge, attention to detail, and professional ability, and has sustained its members during a difficult time with his understanding, humor, and wit. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed that the President of the Oceana Community Services District and the Board of Directors extend Arnie Dowdy their expression of esteem and gratitude for serving the district as Interim General Manager, and wish Arnie Dowdy good health, happy travels, and prosperity for many years to come. Arnie, would you come up, please? In front of the camera, sir. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. I appreciate this very much. I also appreciate the fact that I got to work with all of you. I know some of you think I'm a little off bubble, and I probably am, but I had a great time, and it was an enjoyable opportunity for me to once again practice what I consider to be my craft, and that is dealing with human beings. And I had a good time, a lot of fun. You guys made it relatively easy, and I appreciate how much consideration and kindness you gave to me. I wish you nothing but the best, and I'm only about six blocks away in case you need to talk to me.
Thank you, Arnie.
Thank you, Arnie.
And so we ended up paying a bulk payment of $2,000 and a joint payment for two biweekly periods for $800. And so there were two large checks signed on the same day, which raised some questions, rightfully so, but they were valid payments. And so I made a schedule if anybody would like to look at it, an Excel spreadsheet showing the biweekly payments as well as the quarterly, kind of quarterly bulk receipts, and it worked out to be valid.
Thank you for looking into that.
Sure.
For us.
Thank
appreciate
you.
It. Any comment or question on that from the public or the board? Thanks very much, Patrick. Brings us to item number 10, report of district representatives. I attended the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District meeting on August 15th. There was a renewal of the communication site lease with Cellular One. They have a cell tower on the sanitation district property. That lease was renewed for another 5 years with an extension option on it. That, again, helps the local community avoid costs that would otherwise come back to our ratepayers. Also, stormwater pump and rail mounting replacement. The board authorized $3,100 from the maintenance budget to replace two stormwater pumps and rail mounting, which will eliminate the need for people to make a confined space entry when working on these pumps. So that was authorized. The latest word that I have on the CCT is it's operating pretty well. They got the control issues straightened out with it, and it seems to be operating pretty well at last report, although anyone who's familiar with that seems to be very reluctant to talk about it because they think the thing is haunted. So that's what happened at the sanitation district. Bill?
One of the items at our fire meeting last night was brought to our attention was our fire chief, Doug Hamp's time is actually very limited with us, and our firefighters were present last night, and it was brought to our attention that partnering with the Grover Beach, Arroyo Grande in the future, our fire department would go in the future.
Thank you, Vice President Bookout. I'll try to keep from getting too deep into detail. One of the things that we did as an organization and as the interim fire chief was to do basically a quick overview and audit of the organization and how we're doing business, how we spend our money or spend the taxpayers' dollars. One of the things that we did is to take a look at what resources we have now, looking at our budget and how it's being used. And then in doing so, we took a look at how can we actually do things maybe differently, what options are available to us. And I knew all this somewhat up front because I've been involved from the start on the cooperative agreement that exists between Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach. The reason we went to a cooperative agreement is it's very flexible. If you don't like what you see, you can turn and go right back to what you were doing before. And the intent there was to do that for a few years and see how it looked. And give the policymakers and the community a chance to evaluate the process. It's still alive and well after 2.5 years between those two agencies. And the Oceano organization, in part, somewhat gets drawn into some of the things they do, like training. They train together. All three agencies periodically train together. They talk about budgets, and these things kind of spread like any other good thing, really, in this case. Where they talk about things that need to be bought. And I find that on their own, Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach, and I believe Oceano probably had some discussion with them, when they were doing their budget, sat down and said, let's not duplicate our efforts. Let's not buy the same thing you're buying. You buy it, we'll share it with you, and we'll buy the other thing we all need, and we can share that resource. It only makes sense. It's just really great sense. And the amount of enthusiasm and energy I hear in those groups is great. The other thing that they did, obviously, is they're sharing a fire chief. He was an excellent person. I did the background checks on him, and they couldn't have picked a better person to have in, and that's Chief Mike Hubert. He has experience in working in these settings, and they share a fire chief, and he's really a neat person. He's well-versed, and he knows what he's doing. He's very methodical. And he basically is providing leadership to both of those agencies. And they also, as of Friday, I sat on the interview board. We had a interview with two vehicles, a Suburban-type vehicle, and I would guess you could probably get $25,000 out of that. You could possibly eliminate one of your older engines or donate it to the cause as maybe a cost bargaining tool. But I would imagine you could sell it for $50,000 or more. And those opportunities exist because basically what you do when you join is you inherit an aerial truck. You inherit an mobile airfill station from Grover Beach because you become part of that cooperative agreement and they share these resources. The other thing that what I did was my staff report that you'll be getting for September 12th breaks down the audit into challenges, and the challenges are obviously utilizing the taxpayer dollars as the best we can. We need to fight spending a lot of money for these things when other options exist. So we took a look at that, and the challenges break down in several areas. They break down financially, but they also break down in our quality of service, the response times that we're experiencing. Are considerable in some cases. And so, and part of the delay is the fact that we have to wait for other resources. So one of the things we did, and you can do here in Arroyo Grande when I was there, we did a boundary drop. We dropped the city limits in between Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach. And Arroyo Grande, area that they used to cover off of Oak Park, is now being handled by Grover Beach and getting in there several minutes ahead of what they used to do. And you'll hear during my process how critical that is. Those very precious minutes are very critical. Those kinds of things, I believe at one time you actually incorporated here. I found on my desk an automatic aid agreement between you and Grover Beach, which extends us up in. And I find that we're not really fulfilling all of that right now. We need to go back and revisit it and find out why. But the opportunities to save cost, avoid cost, and actually maybe generate some revenues, take it to the way we're looking at doing the business. And if I hear me talk about fees, I'm not talking putting fees on the people sitting in the audience and at home. I'm talking about putting fees on the people that are coming into the community right now that are emptying a lot of a structure, building a brand new one, developing it, and as decision makers that are going to be a challenge. Are we going to maintain local control? Or is this what's really best for our community? And it goes on like that. And I say if there are things like that, you can put them in a, if you will, like a circuit breaker. You may not elect to do it right now, so turn it off, but it's there. And you can come back and revisit if you'd like to take advantage of that opportunity, you can click it on. But I understand that change for those that have for supporters are usually lukewarm, and for others, it's a hard thing to do. I think the opportunities for you are very great in this area. You would increase the immediate response of other people's resources coming to you, and you in turn would return that same value. So in that, without really digging in deeper, unless you have a particular something that you heard talked about last night I could speak on, I think on September 12th, I'd like to get the staff reports to you early so you can really read them over and look at the challenge, and then look at potential ways and means that we can do this without costing our taxpayers more money and even maybe generating some revenues to help fund the services we provide. Be happy to answer any questions.
Very good from my standpoint.
I heard some of your presentation, and it involves such issues as standby time that we're spending when, for example, a utility pole is down or electrical lines are down.
Thank you.
And maybe ways of cost recovery, things like that, and the sharing of a training officer among the multiple departments, perhaps. And one of the phrases you used was, if you kind of think of it as a department with three stations, which was an interesting way to look at it. And I was really delighted to see your suggestions. I think there's some really good ideas here, and I'm disappointed in one thing, and that is that you don't have enough time to stay with us to see this other than just the genesis of it.
Well, I am too, and I would one of the things I mentioned though to take into consideration is, you don't claiming to be potential benefits would all fall in place after you agree to get in anyway. They aren't going to be automatic. You'll get in there, and then these will begin to take place by the fire administrator, the leader of the organization, going in and implementing these. So it's not something that is going to be totally done up front. It's going to have to be designed around the needs and wishes of Oceano. It doesn't mean everything has to be alike in every community. And I did talk on local control, and there would be local control. It would be a fire oversight committee, which has currently been on doing it for 2.5 years, and I believe they're even revisiting issues now. And so you have representation normally through the general manager and a member of the board on that committee. There is change, but the change is basically in process. And I think those are some of the things you'd have to be willing to accept. Huh. So you're right. When you bring it back and put it into perspective, it's nothing more than a fire department with three stations, and that, this is very common. So I'll continue to work with numbers and get your staff reports for you. I think it's important we educate the community when we say challenge, what that challenge really means.
And there was some of the issues you mentioned, occasionally long response times. And I know that some of those issues have come before the board before related to the fact that our 911 calls, for example, don't go to Grover Beach, which is where we're dispatched from. They actually go to the county emergency center and then are relayed to Grover Beach and then come to us. So there's a built-in delay in the system in the dispatching and the potential for Grover Beach wanting to expand their dispatch center and increase costs that are going to be incurred there are some of the things that the board has looked at in the past. But your report looked like a really comprehensive and well thought out way of attacking these various issues with the objective of providing the best possible service to the community at the most reasonable cost. And I've been very impressed with it. And I think the fire committee felt that way also. With respect to the sense of some urgency that's come with this, the discussion.
Chief and training officer, I think that could be arranged fairly soon. I talked to Chief Hubert along with Chief Hamp last week, and their goal for the combined reserve force is January the 1st, I think, is what
yes,
he was looking
correct.
At. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if we're going to be part of that, we need to start moving to help formulate the agreements and to see how we can contribute and how we can benefit.
And Mr. President, if I may, and I think that the general manager really hit it on the head. It's I think it's really important if you do have interest is to start that communications from the standpoint that you be there during the formulation of any policy. Because it's to our best interest to actually participate in that, and I think you can do so like without a full commitment. You help formulate it and then join in.
Mm-hmm. Well, I still have a lot of questions and a number of concerns before I'm on board on this at all, and I want to talk to our firefighters about it as well and see where they're.
And that's good. I mean, we need those questions answered.
Yeah. And this is not the time. There's not enough time to go through, things I have to ask and want to know about. And I was wondering if there's possible time in the next few days to get together with you.
You bet there is.
Okay.
The also that this item is not on this evening's agenda, other than as the report of the fire committee. I don't know if we were to consider taking this up on September 12th, which I think would be the normal course of affairs, one of the board members, again, will not be present. That's September 26th, which is over a month out, then would be the next possible meeting. Is there, I note that next week, 1 week from tonight is the last Wednesday of the month, and there's no other meetings here. Do we want to take up this question in terms of having the chief put on the full presentation at that time, or would we, if we waited until September the 12th, we have board members absent? If we wait until September 26th, that's more than a month. And so I'm
as far as us being involved, is there a shutoff date for us being involved with the Royal Grand and Grover Beach?
No, but it's one of those things that they're really moving forward. I mean, they're making adjustments to the program, and my advice would be to get involved immediately. However, my intention when I bring this to you is to bring it to you strictly for your consideration. And then if you were to ask me the question you asked me, I would say you should do it immediately. It is a good deal.
I'd point out too that again, we're in negotiations with these other two public agencies, and if we get to a point where we decide it's not what we want to do, even before we enter the agreement, we can say, you know, we considered it, we've worked with you guys, and we just don't think it's going to fly for us, and so we can back out. It's not like we're completely committed. I mean, they would be more comfortable and we would be more comfortable. We said, yeah, we're going to do this, let's go. But there's nothing wrong with going into it saying, let's see what you got, and let's see if that matches our requirements, if we can contribute and benefit at the same time.
I would be a lot more comfortable with that than with a decision to get in, other than to, you know, just to look at, be involved in it and make our decision later on as we get more information coming down the line.
I think they would want to think that we're committed to doing it, but I'm just saying, when we get through once we get into the process, it's not a done deal until we sign the document. That's the whole point of having a document, is you have to have a meeting of the minds, and you got to decide at some point in time, okay, everybody agrees. I think if we just said, if they didn't feel like there was a commitment by the board, then it wouldn't be worth
doing. One concern is that the cities of Royal Grande and Grover Beach are moving ahead, right, and they're liable to make decisions without Oceana's input that would potentially affect our ability if we're not at least represented in the discussion. That's one of my concerns, that we abandon an opportunity to learn what's going on and perhaps influence the decisions and things that are made to the benefit of Oceana, that they might move past that while we're waiting for, say, a month or more to look for a spot on the calendar.
And if I may, and you're absolutely right. Right now, as you know, there's dispatch cost issues are in the ways and means of doing this. The benefit assessment, you are not going to see immediately up front. If you sold a fire truck in one of the utilities, you'd see some money come in real quick. But the other programs are processes that over a period of time you need to have a checklist to say, is this really happening? Is this what we thought was going to happen, and is it paying off? And so, for the benefit of the community, and as I go back and I refer to the mission statement that your firefighters put together, the community they put first, and the same in their values and the same in the culture statement. So everything we do is aiming at cost savings and providing the best level of service for your investment.
What I would like to suggest going forward is that we consider a special meeting one week from tonight that could be well publicized in the press, such that people would be able to come. It's on a Wednesday night. It would be at the same time. There's no other conflict for use of this room, as I understand it. And to, at that time, receive the chief's full report and get those questions out there that, like you say, Vern, there's certainly questions, and to do that. So that would allow all of the board members to be present and still meet the idea of getting this under consideration relatively as soon as we can.
Yeah, I think that's probably the way we need to go. Do the several different time crunches and things. The thing is it's going to be a meeting that's not broadcast like this one, so I do see an importance of making sure it's well publicized.
Well publicized. For something of this magnitude, we may want to consider having AGP here to make sure that it's recorded and broadcast as much as possible. That's a good suggestion, and that's certainly a concern, that if a meeting that potentially is has long-range effect.
Their opinions too, as because we do have questions for them. We did find in their, in what they wanted, I do believe they are looking toward consolidation. That was the one thing that came through. So I'd like to see it go forward, and I'd like to do it next Wednesday if we need to. I really think we probably need to televise it.
Is that something that's in?
I don't have an experience, but I don't see a reason why they couldn't do it.
Yeah. If we do that, is that something that's probably in the general manager's discretion to ask that the meeting be covered if we have one next Wednesday? Do we need to declare some kind of an emergency to set a meeting date?
No, you can just adjourn to a special meeting on that date. There's plenty of time to give all the required notices, and if you want to have it televised, you can do that, subject to making some sort of mid-year budget adjustment at some future time. Mm-hmm. Assuming you have the money.
we'll have the money.
Is there public comment on this item before we proceed any further?
Okay, now we are still in reports, right?
Yes, we are.
Okay. I just didn't know how you were going to handle that
procedurally. I think procedurally what we'll do is hear the rest of the reports, and then probably with the, if it's the consensus of the board members, that we do a meeting on next week, 1 week from tonight, 6:30 p.m., that we could adjourn, as council suggests, to a meeting at that time to take up this issue. Seemed to be a reasonable way to proceed?
That's fine.
Okay. In that case, then, we'll move on with the additional reports. And next up is Director Dahl.
Director Bookhouse finished?
I'm done, yes.
Okay. All right. The Airport Land Use Commission meeting was canceled for the second month in a row. And this is not unusual for during the summertime. Quite often the July and August meetings are canceled. Then there was a related meeting that was related on how does the airport plan for what is it going to be looking like in 20 years. And then, of course, that's a guess, but it's the plan of how they're going to go toward the next 20 years in the airport. And the airport in Oceano has a 50-foot wide runway, which was the standard for this size airport at the time that it was built. But the standard for this size airport now is a 60-foot wide runway. And so part of the plan, because it is outside of the standards, part of the requirement by the FAA on any airport master plans is that they bring them up to code or up to standard, at least show it in their plan. And so they have a plan to widen the runway by 10 feet, and they would widen the runway not 5 feet on each side, because you've got all the runway lights and the rest of that. So to widen it 5 feet on that one on each side would be more expensive than to widen it 10 feet just one side. And so they plan on widening it 10 feet on the south side of the airport. Now, this doesn't affect the Airport Land Use Commission in their rules for development of property around the airport, but their rules are based on different zones. And there's a pie-shaped zone that extends off of the end of the runway, off of each end of the runway, whether it's approach or departure. And that's called the runway protection zone. And if they take that airport runway and widen it 10 feet on the south, it doesn't make that airport protection zone any larger. It stays the same size, but it would move it 5 feet south, Therefore, it would remove about 5 feet of area off of Pier Avenue, making it ever so slightly easier to do some things maybe on a few pieces of property. It would move it 5 feet south or 5 feet farther onto property on the south end. And on it, so it still is the same aircraft would be able to come in and leave. No additional aircraft would be able to come in and come leave or leave. No larger aircraft. Wouldn't change the number of operations. The other thing that was in the airport master plan is basically as hangars are needed over the next 20 years, where would they be built? Those are the main things. There was a couple minor pieces of property that were identified as surplus, and that was about it, or the main part of it. And it was nice. Director Bookett was also there for it, for the at least the first review of the meeting that we had in the morning. And if you have anything to add, that would be wonderful. Do you?
It was a good meeting. They had a roughly a pretty good plan. I saw a few. This is not cut in stone future development. It goes to the county supervisors for their approval. But the airport, you know, they came up with a good plan.
Yeah. One more thing on the widening of the runway. That's the plan that to widen it. How they have to show that on their plan. However, if they were to go proceed with trying to widen it at this point in time, it would still take them 2 years to go through the amount of red tape that it would take to go through it. It would have to go to the Coastal Commission, and the Coastal Commission most likely, because of the grasses that are out there, would deny it. And if the Coastal Commission denies it, then it wouldn't be widened. So even though it's on the plan, doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to happen. That, I believe, concludes the airport master plan report. The Oceano Advisory Council, we did have the county come down and tell us a little bit about it, and that it will come to the Oceano Advisory Council. The we looked at a couple minor projects in the community for line adjustments, and so that were fairly minor. We had an update on the Old Juan's parking lot, which was basically nothing's. The update was nothing's changed. County's going to be looking at it probably next.
I'm reporting on the Zone 11A Advisory Committee that was yesterday, and it was a full schedule. One of the important things we talked about was Doug Bird from the county presented the flood emergency response plan for the Zone 11A, the lower Arroyo Grande Creek. Part of what they need to be able to implement this is they are required to put in stream gauges at the 22nd Street Road crossing and the Valley Road Bridge. Those gauges would be, one would be fully paid for by the Zone 11A, that's at 22nd Street. And at Valley Road Bridge, we would pay half the cost and Zone 3 would pick up the other half. The cost of these required gauges is about $17,000 to $20,000. County staff has determined that they will maintain the equipment, so all we have to do is buy it, they will maintain it. The stream gauges are really important because they click the bell for notification if the water is rising and if there is a possible need for evacuation. The evacuation area is about 1 mile from the creek on either side, and people in that area would be notified by warning sirens, the radio, and TV. Sheriff's Department is the responsible agency for getting people out. And people just need to go up you need to go across Seneca and go higher. We talked about one of the evacuation centers, and that is the fire department right here. And we're thinking, well, maybe that is maybe not the best area for evacuation because it would interfere with the other emergency responses that might have to be taking place. So they're going to be looking at alternate places. The Board of Supervisors, they would like the Board of Supervisors to adopt this flood emergency response plan by November, so it will be in place for this winter season. The gauges also provide another service. So besides an early warning for our security in the area of the flood control, they will help us calibrate our stream flow model. So what they will be doing, seeding apace, they have done thinning in all the areas that they were not able to do, so the coastal zone areas and up of the creek, upward of the creek. And they plan to be finished with thinning throughout all of the creek area by the end of September. The other thing that came up, and I had calls about, were the no trespassing signs on the creek. And those signs went up. They say this. They say no dumping, no parking, and no trespassing. Violators will be prosecuted. And then there are two penal codes and a San Luis Obispo County code. And there are 10 signs up. And people that have used the levees to walk to the beach for years and years called me and said, what happens now? Will I be cited if I'm a pedestrian walking along the creek? And I had to say that it is an unintended consequence of what this is really meant to do. We're trying to get control of the creek so we can clean out the dumping that's there, not allow motorized vehicle access on the levees that we've just brought up to design heights, so we don't want erosion and problems there. And pedestrians were not our problem, but it is a possibility that you could be cited as a pedestrian walking along the levees. Those are private property. All of the levees are private property. They're owned by the adjoining owners to the center of the creek. I don't think anybody would call if it's a pedestrian walking along the creek, but I think they would call if it were a camper or somebody using a motorized vehicle, and that is what the sheriff is really relying upon. So the no trespassing signs are up. The gates will be put up soon so that we will really block off any motorized vehicle traffic through there. There is going to be a creek cleanup Saturday, September 29th, and I'll have to get you more information later about how to sign up for that. And I'd like to see as many people out there helping us as possible. We need to take pride in our creek, and it's quite interesting. There's no water in a lot of it. You can actually see what is in the creek, the beaver dams, and so forth. The final thing is we had the request for qualifications for doing our environmental document. We have four responses to our request for qualifications. We'll be at the fire consolidation meeting this Friday, and I think that's one that I really need to have somebody go to. If anybody is available, I'd appreciate it.
Okay. Is there an alternate for that?
It's Jim.
I should be able to go to that on Friday.
Yeah, I was going to go. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you very much.
The creek cleanup that you mentioned, would that be this month or next month?
It's September 29th.
September 29th.
Saturday, September 29th. So I'll have two more meetings in which to announce it and let people know who to contact and so mm-hmm. forth. So I'll be back with that one.
Okay. Questions or comments from the board on the reports? Just a quick comment on Pamela's report. I know that the Coastal San Luis Resource Conservation District and Julie Thomas has been doing a lot of work, as have the Conservation Corps and the crews that are working to clean up the creek, and they've done a lot of good work there to help the community avoid floods, and that's very much appreciated.
They've done a lot of work. She did a lot of organization. They had to do a lot of red-legged frog training because they have to monitor for the red-legged frogs. So it's quite a task to get that set up every year, and it's a yearly maintenance item because willows grow, she says, 8 to 10 feet a year. The willow shoots come up 8 to 10 feet a year. So it's an ongoing thing every year. We're hoping we get better at it every year also.
Good. Any public comment on the reports?
Sure. General Manager, do you think I should just go ahead and hand out two staff reports to the board members, Dean and Dahl?
I already did that.
You did?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And secondly, Board Member Dahl, is there any way during your discussion on these airport issues that we could condition something as far as fire protection goes for the airport? We've made numerous attempts to communicate with the airport manager and her staff regarding the acquisition of about $300 or $400 worth of equipment that we could keep for the airport use, and has to do with foam, aqueous foam, and an adductor. In the event we have a plane go down on landing or takeoff, we don't have that.
In their report that they brought out, they talk about Oceano Fire Department being the primary response to the airport.
Correct.
And that's pretty, we would hope that they would have enough concern and interest in protecting an accident, you know, if a plane was to crash and put the fire out, that they would, you know, work with us on that.
There is, I don't think that this would have anything to do with the airport master plan. But, and if it does, it's the plan is out. It's
yes.
Under review. What I will do is I will have a personal conversation with her.
Okay.
And if you could give me the specifics of what you're requesting, I'll make sure that there's at least a response coming back to us.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That's all I had. Thank you, Mr. President.
Okay. Item 11, General Manager items for discussion.
I just have one thing. The first Monday that I was here without Arnie, or, you know, when I wasn't holding on to his jacket, I got a phone call from a resident over near the park, the county park, and I apologize. His first name was Norm. I don't remember his second name. And he had a concern because the nails in the two wooden bridges were coming up and presented a damage hazard to tires. So I went over and looked, and sure enough, it was pretty bad. I asked Gina who I should call. She said somebody in Public Works in the county. So after four phone calls in about a week, actually almost 2 weeks now, 2 weeks exactly, I contacted a gentleman named Randy Gezzi, and I asked him if he could tell me who was responsible. And he said, "Oh, I am." And I said, "Well, how do we get it fixed?" And he says, "Well, you call me, and I'll go fix it. I'll send a crew out to fix it." And I thought, "Yeah, sure." But I went over there today, and the nails were in fact driven back down. So I think, just for the public's knowledge, his number is 781-4466. And if you notice that problem, and if you call him, he will in fact do something about it. So my appreciation is to Randy for taking prompt action, and we'll see how long it takes for the nails to pop back up.
Okay, that's a recurring thing that is exacerbated by people that drive at a high rate of speed across
sure.
those bridges and bounce mm-hmm. on it, that if we could ask the public's help and cooperation to keep this room on the 29th, which is Wednesday night, a week, if I understand correctly, my calendar's working, at 6:30, and we'll agendize, put in a proper agenda out, right. Notify the newspapers for publication, and arrange to have AGP here as well.
I don't know.
So we would just adjourn to that point. Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
You sound like you were going to adjourn.
It was just a question.
Yeah. Right. We were just clarifying what's coming up. Thank you for that. This is Vern. Did you have any other items for discussion?
Yes, I do.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to let everyone know that last Monday, and I wanted to thank Patrick for taking his time for the better half of last Monday, pretty much all day. We went throughout the district to just look at the different places in the district so that when we talk about them here, he's got a bird's eye view of what they are and what's going on, and it was I think very productive for him, for the board, for us to do that. We got a chance to go out to the sanitation plant and view the sanitation plant. When we were there, Jeff was kind enough to give us a tour of the entire plant. We got up on top of the fixed film reactor part and looked at the arm that is in need of repair or that type of thing. We went out to the community center and got a tour of the community center. We went out to the creek and looked in the creek, and the creek is one thing you noticed is there's, you know, the number of times I've been there, I've never seen as much garbage out there on the sides of the bank and in the creek. And this cleanup is, hopefully we'll get a lot of participation in that that's coming up. There's the railroad bridge, when that was originally built and designed, when you'd stand in the bottom of the creek, you'd look up 15 feet to the bottom of the railroad bridge. Now when you stand in it, your head is inside the bridge. You stand about foot and a half from the actual railroads.
Brings us to consideration of the warrants.
Are you getting any money this time, Alex?
I'm still interested in making sure you approve it.
We appreciate that.
Do I present the warrants?
I think we've everybody's seen the warrants. We got the warrants in good season this time. Everybody should have had a chance to look at them. Is there any comment or questions from the board? Comment or questions from the public on the warrants? In that case, do we have a motion?
Make a motion we pay the bills.
Okay.
I second it.
It's been moved and seconded to pay the warrants as presented. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Passes unanimously. Would anyone from the public like to address the board at this time? Hearing none. We have no executive session tonight. Are there any written communications?
There was one item, which was the management letter from the auditor. We received it yesterday. Mm-hmm. There's a copy at each of your positions, and there's copies in the back of the room if people want to look at it. We'll have the management report, the management response to this letter at the next board meeting.
Mm-hmm. Great. I'm really glad it's taken a long time to get that wrapped up, so I'm glad to see that come to a successful conclusion. Okay, with that, as announced earlier, we will adjourn to this room on August 29th, that's next Wednesday, 1 week from tonight at 6:30 p.m., the regular board meeting time. And we will ask staff to please provide all the proper notice and notice to the news media and arrange to have AGP present so that it can be distributed throughout the community to the widest possible extent. Thank you all.